scholarships so that when you get to the singing, it's not interrupted by anything that I have to do. First of all, I'd like to thank Father Michael Bruce, director of St. James Westminster, and also the congregation of this church for allowing us to be here to discuss this. Church has a very welcoming attitude for music and concerts and all these kinds of things that bring the community to the church. And we're very grateful to that for that. I would like to thank Professor Bishop Green particularly for making the program and making sure that at the back you will find all kinds of useful information about the London Opera Guild, which is not really a guild, it's just a fact. You don't make anything except you let people accept your opera as a whole, and you grant them to the productions of the fact of music. And you will see there in the back that there are a number of operas that are coming up. And their tickets online, you can order them by phone. And I would suggest that you do this. It's near the beginning of March, and it's one of the most popular operas there is. And it will be a great production. I would like to thank Ted Bear, who's sitting right here, who has been running the opera program at Western for time immemorial.
For life.
And has himself been more than once star on the productions there. And we look forward to hearing him again. He's reached the 70s, but his voice still sounds as if he's in his 50s. So, whenever he sings, be sure to prepare to listen. I would also like to welcome in particular Dean Michael Kim. Where are you?
Back here.
Way at the back.
I was hoping to get on this
thing. We're always very grateful that the Faculty of Music recognizes that we're trying to help the families, students, which we have been doing for many years. In the 15 years that I've been president, we now have scholarship 71 and 75, and before that we had about 130, 140. So in total, somewhere around 220 scholarships that have been awarded by the Opera Guild to students and faculty of music. That is one of our major concerns in the guild, aside from also running an opera bus on Sunday matinees for Canadian Opera Company productions, and having occasional concerts by students and sometimes the faculty of the Faculty of Music regular initiatives. The five scholarship winners today are the first five mentioned on the program: Amy Lugana, Nicholas Grinevsky, Caleb Mann, Franz Fialdo, and Anna Cole. And if you would be so kind as to, well, first of all, I would ask our treasurer, Susan Ackermann, if she would come forward and hand these out to the students, simply because she's good at handing out money. So would you please welcome the scholarship winners to Sanctuary here with loud applause. And I must not forget to mention the person who makes this kind of thing possible, our magical pianist and director of this group, Sarah Lowden.
Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. We'd like to thank you all so much for coming to hear the wonderful singers this afternoon and to support both them and the Opera Guild. We're all really thrilled to present to you a fun-filled afternoon of opera. And it's also part of my job to guide you through some of it by introducing the pieces. And hopefully we'll learn a little something along the way. Mozart's Magic Flute premiered at the end of September 1791, just 2 months before his death, at the ripe old age of 35. The libretto was written by the multi-talented Emanuel Schikaneder, the 18th century impresario, dramatist, actor, singer, and composer. He wrote plays and librettos for numerous composers, including Mozart, Salieri, Haydn, and Beethoven, and also built the Theater an der Wien, which at the time was the most lavishly equipped and one of the largest theaters of its age. He also sang and actually premiered the role of Papageno in The Magic Flute. From the beginning, Mozart and Schikaneder's opera drew immense crowds and managed 100 performances within its first year. It was so popular that it quickly spawned two sequels, Das Labyrinth oder der Kampf mit den Elementen der Zauberflöte, zweiter Teil, I practiced, by Peter Winter, and a fragmentary libretto by Goethe called The Magic Flute Part 2. I just thought we should know that. This allegorical fantasy centers on the love of Tamino and Pamina. In order to be worthy of each other, they are directed to undergo a series of trials. At one point, Tamino must remain silent. While he's under this vow of silence, Pamina encounters him and he will not speak to her. Naturally, she assumes that he's stopped loving her and proposes that she will only find solace in death. Similarly, later in the opera, Papageno, having failed one of his trials, despairs that he has lost Papagena and considers hanging himself. He hesitates and says that he will count to three and then go. Three boys might appear in the nick of time and remind him that he can use his magic bells to summon her. There might be a happy ending for all the couples in the opera. But in order to find out, you're going to have to come to see Western Opera's production of The Magic Flute, March 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, mark your calendars. In the meantime, for a preview, we have Amy as Pamina, followed by Nick with Papageno's suicide aria.
Thank you. pagina, la pagina. Weiche, Deutsche, meine Söhne, vergebens, ach, sie ist verloren. Ich bin zu wohl, schon geboren. Ich plauderte, plauderte, und das war schlecht, und drum geschieht es mir schon recht, drum geschieht es mir schon recht. Seit ich gekostet diesen Wein, seit ich das schöne Weinchen sah, so brennt sie im Herzenskämmelein, so zwickelt hier, so zwickelt da. Papagena, Herzensweibchen, Papagena, liebes Weibchen. Siehst umsonst, es ist vergebens, müde bin ich meines Lebens, sterben macht der Liebe ein End, wenn sie im Herzen nur so brennt. Diesen Mann, da will ich zielen, wieder in den Halt verschwinden, weil das Leben mir missfällt, über Nacht und schwarze Welt, weil du böse an mir handelst, mir kein schönes Kind zu handeln, so ist das, so sterbe ich. Schöne Mädchen, denk an mich, schöne Mädchen, denk an mich. Will sich einer um mich armen, ich werde noch erbarmen, wohl so lass ich diesmal sein. Buffet nur, ja oder nein, Buffet nur, ja oder nein. Keiner hört mich, alle stille, 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 also ist es eure Fille. Papageno frisch hinauf in dem deinen Lebenslauf, Papageno frisch hinauf in dem deinen Lebenslauf. Nun, ich warte noch, es sei, ich warte noch, nun, es sei, bis man zählt, eins, zwei, drei. Eins, zwei, drei. Nun wollen es bleibt dabei. Nun wollen es bleibt dabei. Weil mich nicht zurückgehält. Gute Nacht, du schwarze Welt. Gute Nacht.
Handel's Elcina was first written and performed in 1735, 8 days after its completion. It originally included ballet, as did most operas of the time. The imported French ballerina Marisal shocked audiences not only by performing in a simple muslin gown, but also in her natural hair. Like many of Handel's works at the time, it had its brief season at Covent Garden and then fell into obscurity and was not revived for performance until 1928. Fortunately, it has enjoyed more popularity in the second half of the 20th century, and provided the debut opportunity for a young Joan Sutherland in 1960. The sorceress Elcina lives on a deserted island and likes to lure men to her island and then turn them into various forest animals and other objects. Her sister Morgana, also a sorceress, has been deprived of human contact for her entire life. Consequently, when she meets any human visitor to her island, she immediately falls in love. In the aria Credete al mio dolore, she describes her feelings of pain due to her love and longing. In Handel's opera Tamerlano, the characters Bajazet and his daughter Asteria have been captured by Tamerlano. As part of his conquest, Tamerlano demands Asteria's hand in marriage, to which Bajazet strenuously objects. He would rather die than have his daughter marry their conqueror. In the aria Celle terra armi disdegno, he has just sent a strongly worded refusal to their captors, and vows before heaven and earth that he will die unconquered and be strong. Rossini was an extremely prolific composer of opera. Relatively early in his career, he wrote 27 operas in 7 years, many at very short notice. For example, for the opera La Cenerentola in 1817, he had just over 3 weeks to write the music before the premiere. Because he was so busy writing operas, he tended to follow a formulaic structure that became known as the Code Rossini. Furthermore, he was not above borrowing from himself, recycling overtures and arias between operas. Of the 26 numbers in Edoardo e Cristina, 19 were lifted from previous works. Audience members at the premiere jokingly asked why the libretto had been changed since the last performance. When the publisher Ricordi issued a complete edition of Rossini's works in the 1850s, he was quite upset, saying, "The same pieces will be found several times." The last opera role he wrote for a castrato was Aureliano in Palmira in 1814. Changing operatic tastes meant that it was becoming the norm to use contralto or mezzo voices. After this point, we see that many of Rossini's heroines are written for the mezzo voice. And although they are spunky and interesting, they are not witches, boys, or overly opinionated females. Rosina in The Barber of Seville is independent and clever. In the aria Una voce poco fa, she vows to set 100 traps for anyone looking to control her. When necessary, she can be a viper. Rosina then grew up, got married, and became the Countess Almaviva. In Mozart's 1786 opera, The Marriage of Figaro, the Countess, who we have already established is an expert at setting traps, and her maid Susanna hatch a plan to punish the philandering Count by sending him a message to meet Susanna in the garden, and then exchanging clothes, so that the Countess will be there instead and catch him expecting to meet Susanna. The Count overhears some of this scheming and realizes that he is being tricked. He resolves in the aria I Giaventa la Causa that he will get revenge on the plotters. Please welcome Hannah as Rosina, followed by Nick as the Count.
Oh!
ha vinto la causa. Cosa sento? In qual laccio io cadea? Perfidi! Io voglio di tal modo punirvi. Piacer mio la sentenza sarà. Ma se pagasse la vecchia pretendente, pagarla in qual maniera? Poi Antonio, che all'incognito fece ricusa di dare un nipote in matrimonio. Coltivando l'orgoglio di questo mentecatto, tutto ciò vadrà a giro.
One of the most enduring operas in the canon is Puccini's opera La Bohème. with its tale of young Bohemians living and loving in Paris in the 1840s. It was first performed in 1896 with a 28-year-old Arturo Toscanini at the helm. 50 years later, Toscanini conducted a commemorative performance with the NBC Symphony Orchestra, which was recorded. It is the only recording ever made of a Puccini opera with its original conductor. Another fun fact is that another opera version of La Bohème exists. Can anyone tell me who wrote it? Oh.
Have a treat. Well done.
It was written by the composer Ruggero Leoncavallo, who also composed I Pagliacci. In fact, Leoncavallo and Puccini had quite a dispute over who should have the rights to the opera concept. Neither backed down, and both composed an opera. Leoncavallo's was never as successful as Puccini's and is now rarely performed. Puccini's, on the other hand, has been continuously performed to great acclaim around the world since its inception. Not only that, it provided the inspiration for the 1996 musical Rent by Jonathan Larson. In this aria from the end of Act One, the seamstress Mimi is introducing herself to the poet Rodolfo, whom she has just met. She tells him that she's called Mimi, but she's not really sure why, because her name is Lucia. Her story is simple. She sows flowers and likes gentle things, like springtime and love. Her favorite thing is when spring comes and she feels the first kiss of April. The single rose in a vase in her room opens and she can smell its perfume, unlike the fabric flowers she makes. Her description of flowers opening to the sunshine foreshadows the fact that she and Rodolfo are falling immediately in love. Now, got some more of these. Who can say what aria immediately precedes Mi chiamano Mimi in the opera La Bohème? Well done. Yes, Che gelida manina. Rodolfo wants to hold Mimi's hand. And another excerpt about wanting to hold someone's hand. Don Giovanni was completed on October 28, 1787. It premiered in Prague on October 29, 1787. It was rapturously received and is certainly regarded as one of the opera world's staples today. The Russian composer Tchaikovsky always regarded Don Giovanni and its composer with awe. In 1855, the original score had been purchased in London by the mezzo-soprano Pauline Viardot. She kept the manuscript in a shrine in her home. When Tchaikovsky visited her and the manuscript, he said he was in the presence of divinity. This plot is based on the Spanish legend of the libertine Don Juan, who indulges in all sorts of behavior that would surely get him canceled today. In the opera, it only gets him dragged to hell by the statue of a man he killed. Sorry, spoiler alert. In this duet, Don Giovanni has just crashed the wedding of the peasant girl Zerlina and has taken a liking to her. He invites her up to his castle and invites her to give him her hand, perhaps the rest of her. She at first resists, but then agrees to leave with him. So first a duet about wanting to hold your hand, followed by Mimi's aria.
Castinetto mio, sogni sereno, è la gioiella mia, ci sposeremo. La cittadella mano, non mi dirai di sì.
Yes, non son più forte, non son più
Mi chiamano, mi sui vicina che vien fuori d'ora in bordo nato.